Good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. Good morning. Good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue here in old Algiers, New Orleans. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer speaking, reminding you that our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Also, many of our folks are not able to hear the radio station here in New Orleans or some of our other places, but let me give you this information. The internet capacity has modernized many of our broadcasts, and you can hear us now on WLNO out of New Orleans on www.wlno.com. And that's a gracious thing to happen. Also, our Sunday services here from 10 o'clock to 11, our Bible school are there, and then the 11 to 12 broadcast is also heard there on WLNO, www.wlno.com. So if you would, pick us up there on the internet. We've been bringing you a series of studies on the preacher. We've looked at the preacher and his calling, his salvation, his qualifications, his message, his library, his education. And today we're looking at the preacher and his finance. Did you know the finance plays a big part in the pastor's work? That's right, how he handles his money, how he handles God's money. But in our last studies, we've seen the minister is a surgeon of souls. He's a prophet of God, the ambassador from heaven. If he's a born-again preacher, he's made a new creature in Christ, commissioned from heaven to preach the gospel of the Lord. And then he's also called to preach. Yes, the born-again man knows who is called to preach, knows the Lord. That's right. How can you preach except you know the Lord? He loves the Lord. He loves the Word. He preaches it, knows the way of grace, talks about it, willing to take his place with God's despised few. Now, we want to begin this morning to look at God's call preacher and his finance. His finance. There are two things, either one which will wreck any preacher's testimony and his usefulness. Now, would you listen? There's two things that will wreck and ruin a church, ruin a preacher's testimony, and we're going to look at those two things this morning. One of them, the first thing is the wrong handling of money, and the second is the wrong handling of the wrong relationship of his with the opposite sex or with the women. If a preacher will keep his finance and his social life straight, he can charge hell with a thimbleful of water. Now let's look at the preacher and his finance this morning. This is a gracious study. I wish you'd listen. All these messages are on cassette tape. If you pastors would like to have them, we have a whole series here on the preacher. I believe it'd be good instructions for your heart. If the preacher does not keep his personal finance straight, learn how to control his personal finance, he's headed for the rocks, and that mighty fast. Now, I've seen that happen over and over and over again. Preachers allowed his wife to throw more out the back door than he can bring in the front. You ever hear that old expression? I have. The woman throws more out at the back door than he can bring in the front. I've seen preachers when I was a youngster. I didn't know then what was happening, but I saw the women stay in the street, buying, 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 wouldn't take care of his clothes, the children's clothes, so therefore they always had to buy things. The preacher who does not plan and strive to live within his income, within his means, is headed for the mud flat. Now, that's right. He's headed for destruction. I'll grant you there have come times of sickness and other adversities which will throw a preacher in debt, but at least he can be honest with his creditors, make ever honest effort to pay his debts as the Lord provides a means. But the preacher who deliberately makes debt with no view of paying them or who makes no effort to pay them and shuns his creditors does not know the Lord, and only the new birth will cure such a deceitful, wicked heart. Now, I know I can go back many, many years ago. Pastor L.R. Shelton, the founder of this work, told me many times, several times, he said, preachers will beat you before anybody else will. And I found that out when I came here as a pastor, took over the bookstore, the management of the bookstore, to try to bring it out of the rocks, off of the bedrock. It was on a low limb financially. Got in there and took over the bookstore. And I found that thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars was on the books from preachers in this city who owe this bookstore money, and most of them, they still owe it. That's right. We collected all of them in a in a list and got all a list of them and posted it on the wall behind the counter so that if any of them comes in the store, they can no longer charge anything. We cut out all the credit accounts because of the bad ones. The bad makes good suffer. People that pay their bills can't get credit nowhere because folks like that have messed up their... And they're there now, and they come in, oh, I'm Reverend so-and-so. My name's Rev so-and-so. Well, Rev, you don't have no credit here at the bookstore. Oh, well, one time I could come in here and get whatever. Yes, sir, one time you could, but your bill's still here on the wall. You want to see your bill? Several of them we've turned over to the credit bureau, and isn't that awful to have to turn a preacher, and here he is leading some flock? Listen there, listen. Personally, I've been taught, was raised to despise and hate a liar and a thief. Now, those two things are the worst things that any man can be, I believe, is a liar and a thief. You may be a drunkard, but if you don't lie and you don't steal, you have more respect in my eyes than they do. Listen now, any preacher who will deliberately make a debt and make no effort to pay him, who will shun his creditors, is both a liar and a cheat. He ought to be hung by his heels. That's right. I think he ought to be hung by his heels in the town square. I think we need some straight shooting along that line, don't you? Do you hear anybody else on the radio calling sin, sin, my friend? No, the old trailblazer stands alone here in my pulpit, in my studio here behind this microphone, crying out, bringing down the wrath of God. Yeah, that's right, on so-called perverse preachers who will beat you out of it. Listen, folks. Listen, I've always been afraid because of what the pastor told me, and I found out it's true, that they'll beat you out of it. And we should hold the highest moral standard of anybody. And I know that. I know that. I think we just ought to get straight. I had a preacher one time at a meeting, and everywhere we went, he wanted to get a discount. Always. Now, that's one of the things, my friend, that you will find the old trailblazer despises. Now, I know that we give, a lot of our stores give senior citizen discounts. I know they do that. But I never ask them for one because, you know, it costs them just as much to make a hamburger for you to eat as it does a young person. That's right. That's right. Now, some of my folks criticize me for taking this stand, and if they offer you a discount, take it. But I don't go in any store and say, well, do y'all give a senior citizen discount here? No, sir. And are y'all giving preachers a discount? No, sir. Nobody knows I'm a preacher when I go buy a suit of clothes. I don't do that. No, sir. Because I think that's a humbug. That's right. Every preacher should face the world just like any other man. If some good-hearted businessman should of his own accord give you a discount, that's well and good. I know, folks, I know businessmen whose preacher comes in, they'll give them a discount on a good suit of clothes, knock off $50 off. Well, that's well, but don't go in there begging for it. Listen, I don't believe that any man of God, whoever would ever approach the business world and cheapen God's ministry in such a manner. Now, I don't, my friend, I don't. That's just a shame. The man of God, all the people upon the earth, should walk above the world, before the world, so as not to bring reproach upon the name of our blessed Lord. Now, that's a strong sentiment with me. I just don't believe in the poor mouth. I don't believe in poor mouth in anybody. And listen, of all people, the pastor, the leader of the church, should conduct themselves on a high plane, my friend. I do. I think he should. Also, the preacher should walk among his folks, coveting no man's gold nor silver, be content with such things as the Lord given him. My personal conviction has been that as I walk here, walk with the Lord has given me all that I have needed. I have been blessed above measure in the Lord supplying all my needs, my friend. By all means, a man who calls himself a preacher, a man of God, who walks in the pulpit, handles God's word, ought to keep his hands clear of the money. Now, I don't handle the money here at this church. No, sir. We have a bookkeeper who records every penny of it, a list of where it's spent, or every radio station. And listen, I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. I ran my own business for many, many years, and I had to handle those things, had to deal with them. I conducted it just like I do this business here. Everything straight and narrow. Folks come in here from out of radio land wanting to look around. I carry them into the record room and show them all the records. We can give you a copy of every 3-cent stamp folks used to send here many years ago. 6-cent stamp, 20-cent stamp. Now they're up to 33 cents. And folks send us stamp, and we got a record of it, where it went, where it came from and where it went, my friend. Listen. Every man of God ought to keep his hand clear of the money. Now, I found this situation. That's right. Folks put on a campaign to raise money, and they want to get out and put vote out to this and that and the other. But listen, my friend. I have good evidence that one community preacher received a brand new car to keep his mouth shut about a certain object on the poll thing when they were going to vote. Listen, in the closing days of Judah, before they went into captivity, the prophet Jeremiah said, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." God forbid that any preacher should be given unto covetousness. He can die, but he cannot compromise and go the way of Balaam. I know that we're living in the modern times when money is everything. The news media says, follow the money. And you look at these TV evangelists and televangelists. You follow the money, my friend. I was a personal friend of one of them who took in millions and millions of dollars every week, and I knew him well as I know my own self, and I saw how he lived. I saw what went with the money, and it wasn't too long before he was in a court scrape because of some hanky-panky that went on in his life, kind of let the air out of his balloon. Why? Because of sin. It was because of the money and what it would buy that wrecked and ruined his ministry. Then if the preacher leads his church into mission work, preaching the gospel, touching the lives of men and women, he'll have to be a good financier to know how to handle the money. Now, I know it is with me here in this work. Every day I have to ask the Lord, "Lord, am I walking in thy will? Lord, don't let me overstep my bounds. Don't let me understep them. If the Lord puts money into my hand to go on a new station, Lord, I want to know. I want to make sure that's where you want it to go." But if a preacher can't handle his own personal finance, he'll be a thief at the treasury of the Lord. Now, my friend, that's right. This is what you send here. You don't send it to me. Folks send money here. We have a large radio budget. Folks send money here. They don't send it to me. No, my friend. But if the preacher can't handle his own money, if he doesn't know how to handle his own finance, if he doesn't steal it outright, he'll always be clamoring for a higher salary. If he can't get it where he's preaching, he'll be mooching another church, moonlighting, they call it. And all of this revealed. What does that reveal to you, my friend? A covetous heart. A covetous spirit. Let me make this statement. I heard it many, many years ago. One of the greatest blessings that a church can have is a saved pastor, one who knows the Lord, one who walks in the Lord's will, one who is the Lord leads day in and day out. That's right. But the worst curse that could ever come upon a church or upon an assembly is for the pastor to not be saved. And therefore, he'd be covetous, he'd be a thief, he'd be a liar, he can't walk, can't tell the truth, and he'll cover up the truth. That's right. But listen, what about at your church? Is your pastor an honest man? Does he walk uprightly? Pastor, you out there listening to me, are you got your hand in the till over there, in the bucket? Have you got your hand in the bank account? You better leave it alone. You better get somebody that can be trusted and let them handle the money, my friend. If not, you may be called before the deacon board one day going to give an account of where this money went or where that money went, and then you have to be embarrassed. But listen, folks, the Lord doesn't intend for his man to be a thief, nor a liar, nor a cheat, nor a covetous. No, sir. No, sir. He has to be the straight and narrow. What are we if we can't lead our people? How does folks going to have any confidence in this work here if the pastor, the old trailblazer, walks in contrary? Do you know it don't take long for folks to know if you walk in the straight and narrow way, if you're conducting your business right? That's right. That's exactly right. They know. It won't take them long to know. And if you're not, they'll put their rollers on you, which they should do. No man is fit to preach who will steal. No man's fit to preach who will lie, cheat, No thing. This is the Old Trailblazer. I wish I had another hour this morning, but I'll be back in the next time, bringing you another message on the preacher and his finance. Remember, my mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye.